Board Gaming with Education, a podcast for anyone curious about how games and education mix. We explore various topics like game-based learning, gamification, and board games, and the impacts they have on learning. Here's your host, Dustin Statz.
Welcome to another episode of Board Gaming with Education. I am your host, Dustin, and today we have another geek discussion episode. So Jay, Spencer, and I, we talk about board game nights. We talk about things you should do as a guest, things you should do as a host, and if you're new to board games, we talk about some things you should do as a new board gamer. So be sure to listen into our discussion. Before we get into the episode, I want to talk about our gamification kits. So I am just about finished. Actually, I'm just getting ready to send out the print and play prototypes to our playtesters, who are different teachers and different educators in various fields, some homeschool teachers, some teachers in the States, a couple teachers here in Asia as well. So those playtesters will try out the kit this spring and summer and give some feedback so we can really refine the kit and bring it to you this summer on Kickstarter. So the physical kit will consist of some character cards, some item cards, XP tracking, a teacher handbook as well, as some other things that we're kind of waiting to finalize to see what would work well with a kit. It also comes with a few storylines too, and different themes to go along with the characters and the storylines. So that will come to Kickstarter this summer. If you are interested in the kit and you want to know what we're doing and what it's all about, you can sign up for our email list. And you can find our email list at boardgamingwitheducation.com. I will be sending updates about the kit as I refine the prototype and refine the physical kit and get it ready for the Kickstarter. You can also come check out our Facebook group. There's a lot of great discussion around game-based learning and gamification. So I do make some posts about the kit in that group as well. And you can look on Facebook if you search game-based learning, gamification, and board games in education. So that is our Facebook group. Now, before we get into the episode, I want to talk about our sponsor, Amped Up Learning. Amped Up Learning is a teacher-owned company that strives to make learning engaging, fun, and competitive with their unique games and teacher-created lessons. So they do have two flagship board games. These are unique board games that Amped Up Learning designed. One is Freck. It's a tabletop card game and classroom resource aimed at teaching your students key social studies vocabulary in an engaging, competitive, and creative way. They also have the board game Risk It, a new way to compete in history class. It involves teams, trivia, and taking chances. Check out their world history volumes on their website, ampeduplearning.com. If you do go to their website, check out any of their teacher resources, decide you want to go ahead and purchase something, be sure to use the coupon code BGEGAMES. That will get you a 10% discount on any of your purchases. Again, that's ampeduplearning.com. and the coupon code BGEGAMES. All right, let's hop into the discussion. Welcome to Board Game with Education. I am your host, Dustin, and I have with me for our geek discussion episode, Jay and Spencer. So during these episodes, we talk about a topic related to board games, not always educational, but we hope that if you are new to board games, you can learn a little bit about the hobby, and if you know about board games or you're an expert at board games, you can see our perspective or ideas on these different topics. Today we're talking about board game nights or board game days or meeting with your friends to play board games. So each episode we start off with a homework and we end with homework, something that you should maybe try to do before our next episode. And we also play a game called What Does Spencer Know? And
or What Does Jay Know?
Yeah, and sometimes
I know nothing.
What does Jay know? So if this is the first time listening to the show, Jay, would you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
Hi, my name is Jay. I run the website cardboardeast.com, where I review board games from Asia. Living in Asia gives me easy access to publishers from Taiwan, Japan, Korea, Singapore, and Indonesia, and Hong Kong. And I get review copies usually a little bit ahead of North America and Europe. So if you want to see the latest hotness coming from Asia, check out cardboardeast.com.
Hotness.
Nice. And
hotness.
Spencer.
Are we young enough to say hotness?
No, it's a term, actual term. It's a board game term. On boardgamegeek.com, there's a term called the hotness.
Wow. I actually did not know that. That is not surprising.
What does Spencer know? Not the hotness.
Not the hotness. So it must not be the thing young kids are saying anymore, right?
Well, maybe. So Spencer, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Spencer. My wife and I came here. We opened up a plant-based restaurant, and underneath I got to put in a little den for myself and, well, hopefully for others. Filled it up with some board games. We got some local board game designers that come by and drop off their games. It's also got my own little collection. And despite that, people decide to play Jenga every night.
So what would you say is the game that most people choose to play?
Jenga, for sure. And then Uno. Yeah. And then Monopoly or Scrabble. You know, I always recommend other games and they go, oh, yeah, sure, that'd be great. And then they pick up the other ones. But, you know, everybody comes in, has some fun, get some drinks, play some games.
So let's go into our homework and maybe we'll start with Spencer. You or I or Jay.
What about you, Dustin?
We all had to.
Did you do your homework?
I did not do my homework, but we'll get into that. So our homework was to find a board game shop or a cafe or something game related, a new place to play or meet up to go to. So Spencer.
Yeah, we're starting with me because as a small business owner, you don't get to go outside. So my place is obviously Hooch.
You found a place?
Yeah, I found a place.
In your place?
Every single day. I found my inner place under Uchacha. We play a lot of games. I have some regular people that come in. Actually, Jay used to come in. We're trying to see if we can't get that restarted again so we can...
Yeah, we had some nice epic game nights.
We did. And actually, we'll talk about the game that we... I saw it was on his list. It's on mine as well. A game that we played on and off for a bit. Yeah, I cheated just a little
bit. That's how you want to win, Spencer. Yeah.
Spencer's talking about a top 5 2-player game list, which will be an episode coming out here soon.
After or before?
It'll come out after 1 week or 2 weeks after.
Oh, okay, good.
So we're about behind.
It'll make sense. It won't come first.
This is post-production Dustin here. That was definitely a lie. That episode came first. It came out last week.
And we also host a lot of events. We'll have a board game event, actually, that we host once a month at the beginning of April. I'm not sure whether the episode will come out after or before. But also a board game language exchange. So if you're in Taiwan or you're in Taipei, you ever want to check our website, uchacha.com. We have an event page with all sorts of fun little events that we're hosting. Also, not a little off topic, but still a game. We'll probably be doing a Smash Ultimate tournament next month.
I'm in.
And you also get a lot of local publishers. Like I think Mo Ideas will be there to teach people how to play their games at the language exchange. Which would be kind of cool. They're definitely one of the bigger names out of Taiwan.
And we're hoping to get a couple more for the next one or the one after that. They'll be bringing City Explorers and Tulip Bubble.
And Jay, did you do your homework?
I did do my homework, teacher. There is a board game cafe on my way to work, and I assumed that it had closed down because it was never open after a while. Only to my surprise that very recently it reopened up again. I went inside and say hello to the owner and asked him what was going on, but the truth is that he was just remodeling, and the whole place looks so nice now. It looks very clinical, like a hospital almost. What? It does. It's very, very clean. And I think a lot of... I'm always a little bit nervous when I say things like this, but because I don't want to be called like a sexist. But a lot of women that I've talked to, a lot of gamers, they don't go to game cafes because the bathrooms are not clean. They are very, very dirty. And they say if you want more people to come to your gaming cafe, clean your bathrooms and have them very clean and presentable. And his bathroom is spotless.
He keeps looking at me like I don't clean our bathroom.
Your bathroom's pretty clean.
I enjoy the Calvin and Hobbes photos on the wall.
Oh, nice. I'm glad somebody noticed.
Anyway, I met the owner and I saw that he had one of my favorite games on the shelf, and he didn't know how to play it, so I pulled out Dungeon Twister, and I taught him how to play Dungeon Twister. It's one of my favorite games, and He thanked me, and then I left. I wish I could tell you the name of the rest of the restaurant, of the board game cafe, but the truth is that he doesn't even know the name, because he said he had a new inside, so he wanted a new outside, and he hasn't decided the new Chinese name for the store yet. But as soon as I know, you'll know.
So for my homework, I did not do my homework.
Shame.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about a cafe that I have known for a while that we did a summer event, or a two-week summer event at. We hosted game nights for 2 weeks and did a couple professional developments for game-based learning, and that's called Grow Life, and that's just across the street here in Taipei.
What's it called?
Grow Life.
Grow Life.
Grow Life. That's the English name. I don't know the Chinese name.
Sometimes you lose things in translations.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Growl Life.
No, it's two words. Grow Life. So let's get into the next segment called
What does Spencer know?
And we're going to start with the first term. I think both of you probably know this term. And
I know.
Nothing. I might surprise you.
Push your luck.
Well, actually, I do, because I know. That's not cool. I know what it is.
What is it?
I don't know what it is.
A push your luck game?
Teach me.
So
please teach me.
You don't know what it is?
It's like...
No, I have no idea. Spencer, please teach me. What does push your luck mean?
What's that pirate game I got on the shelf? It's called, like, in Dead Man's Draw. It's a game where you draw cards and you can't match suits. So there's 10 different suits in the game. So you continuously draw the cards and bank them. So basically, every time you draw a card, you're pushing your luck because you could come up with the same suit and therefore bust.
I did not know what push your luck meant, Spencer. Thank you for... I'm just kidding. No,
liar. Liar.
Push your luck is another way of saying risk versus reward. So it's an idea that you're pushing your luck in order... You're increasing your risk to increase your reward. A lot of games use this. I think the best example, the one I always think of, is Diamat or Ink and Gold.
Ink and Gold, yeah.
I like that one. Yeah, it's a great game. I teach a board game class for kids every summer, and that's the game I start with because the choices are completely binary. Do you continue exploring or do you leave?
All right, perfect. Push your luck. We all know. Now, so
I do want to say that like push your luck though does get confused a lot
with?
Or for stuff that's not really for randomness.
Okay. All right, so let's go to the next term, and that is dexterity games. What is a dexterity game?
I don't know. What does dexterity game mean, Spencer?
I mean, I think that one's probably self-explanatory. I haven't heard the game term before, but basically a game where it's like Ghost in, what's that game called? Ghost Mouse Closet? Crazy Ghost? That German
Ghost
game?
Ghost Mouse Closet?
Geist.
Ghouls
and Geist. Something or other.
Or the game that you were talking about earlier today, Jenga, is a dexterity game.
Yeah, but that's it. I don't like to talk about Jenga.
It stole my job.
It has. I don't get
Stole
to
my
teach,
girlfriend.
I don't get to teach any games to people because they want to play Jenga.
So what are some other dexterity games?
Geist and Ghouls and Rats.
And what? Guys, we didn't really define dexterity game. What is?
It's just where you someone maybe have that to doesn't. Use your fingers.
Okay.
Well, I mean that's.
Quickness games, right?
Well, I think it's where the game itself isn't determined by the strategy that you do in your head, but like how you're physically able to perform a certain task within the game. Like Jenga would be a great example. Like there is some strategy to the game. I'm not going to say it's completely void of strategy, but most of the gameplay revolves around dexterity, about being able to pull the block out and then put it back on top without knocking it over.
Speed and finesse games, right?
Speed and finesse.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. So we got push your luck and dexterity games.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you have a dexterity game that you like, Dustin?
I just backed one on Kickstarter not too long ago from another podcaster, Board Game Design Lab by Gabe Barrett, and it was named The Final Flicktier is the is his game.
The final foot tier?
Flick tier, as in you tier. Flick something. Do all dexterity games have to have flicking? A pun?
Because
there's another game called Flick 'em Up, opposed to Stick 'em Up, where it's a dexterity game that takes place in the Old West, and you're all cowboys shooting each other, except you get to flick the bullets that you're shooting at each other.
Yeah, I don't know. I only know a few dexterity games that are coming to mind. But
paper football.
That's a classic example. Sure.
One there's those quickness games like Jungle Madness. I'm making up that name.
I wouldn't say that like games like Speed, like I'm sure we all played Speed in the playgrounds of elementary school. I would say that is a type of dexterity game, but it's more speed based game, more of a real time game than dexterity.
Oh, there's a difference.
Well, I think there's overlap. I don't like to give Boolean definitions of things. Like, it's either one or the zero. I think there are...
Everything is a zero-sum game.
Only two-player games, technically. But
all right, so let's go into our topic of the episode, and that's board game nights. So do you guys normally get together for board game nights, or do you have a regular group you play with?
Yes.
Not anymore.
I think that's true for everyone. The answer is always yes, not anymore. It's been 2 years, and I'm still waiting, but we have scheduled one for the first open slot 2 years from now.
I mean, I still get to do pen and paper, but unfortunately, I always got to bounce between a bar and going and GMing, which is all right when it's not too busy, because then gives players time to sit there and talk about what's happening when, you know, they could be faced with something that they could be killing them.
I think that works for a pen and paper game.
Yeah. But not so much for board games. Just ends up drawing out games from an hour to 4 hours. So sadly, game nights are dead until I can get some more time off.
I do enjoy the moments you walk away from our RPG game, because sometimes I'm just like, I don't know what to do. So I need that moment to kind of collect my thoughts and like think about my character and stuff.
I try to meet up once every other weekend. So we have I currently have a Gloomhaven group, and we meet up every other Sunday, and that seems to work out for everyone, because I think it's as you get older and you get more and more responsibilities, having a set once a week can be kind of tricky.
That's true, but you know, actually it's funny, because I had the exact opposite experience trying to organize every other week things. What ended up happening was regardless, if we did it every week, you know, somebody would cancel. And we'd end up doing it every other week, whereas opposed to when I did every other week, if somebody canceled, then we ended up playing once a month. And it just happened so frequently that I just said, to hell with it.
So what we learned today is that scheduling board game nights can be tricky. But thankfully, technology makes it a little bit easier to communicate and try and narrow things down. But on top of board game nights, I think there are definitely rules that people should do about being a good host. And since you own your own man den, what are some rules that you think are good for a board game night, Spencer?
You can't take too long on your turn. I one time sat through a Risk game where it was, you know, oddly, it ended up being two teams, so two pairs, against one. It was Risk Halo. And I ended up playing the Flood. And what ended up happening was these two teams went outside and chatted for 1 hour. No exaggeration. Between each turn. The game ended up being 3 turns long. So 3 hours. And I ended up getting ganged up on. 4 players versus 1. Why would you do that? I don't know. But it was the worst gaming session I've ever played in my life.
Sounds a little sour.
That just seems like bad board gaming etiquette, as opposed to hosting etiquette.
Terrible. What are you supposed to do, you know?
When I host board game days or afternoons, I think I try to, one, make sure my bathroom's clean, two, make sure cups and drinks are available for everyone, and make sure that my living room is somewhat clean. I just think having a nice, clean place is more welcoming.
Cleanliness is nice.
What about as a guest?
I think that's actually the bigger sticking point. Even if you're a bad host, the worst host. Oh, well, I've read stories on Reddit of really bad ones. So let's say bad in a very general term, like they're not aggressive and trying to ruin your night. You're a bad host in that you just haven't supplied any amenities. It's nothing compared to the worst players. Because if you have the worst players, then one, the host is resentful and never wants to host again. And two, you can ruin it for everyone by being inconsiderate.
Well, that's the other part about being a good host, is trying to get the right gamers to trying to mold that group the way that you want. Because I like all these board games. Most of the board games here on your shelf I really enjoy. But at the end of the day, they're just pieces of paper and cardboard without people to play them. And to me, it's board game is more of that social aspect where I get to enjoy everyone's company, but we're also doing this activity of playing this really fun game.
That was so profound.
So, let's say
I'm going to murder you.
I'm sorry.
A game is only as good as the people you play it with.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I guess it's not.
I'm sure you love Risk, but if I had to wait an hour between turns, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I've had a lot of Risk games where it's like, never doing that again, ever.
Okay, so we maybe don't want to scare off people and make these rigid guidelines for board game night. So if you don't know anything about board game etiquette and you just want to come,
just be considerate. There aren't a whole lot of rules.
So what is considerate?
Don't step on other people's turn. I mean, especially with pen and paper, that's one of those things. If you're talking over somebody or trying to always make everything about you, then you're being a time suck. You're also being the spotlight suck. I don't know. Can you suck spotlight? You know, you want to be able to lift everybody else up as opposed to, you know when to take a step back. Talk when it's your turn kind of deal. Especially in terms of a board game. So like Jay said, it's all about the interactiveness of the game. I mean, that's not what he said, but that's kind of what he said.
Putting words in my mouth and agreeing with them. I take it.
So Jay, what about you? What do you think? A first time board gamer, like they have no idea how to play board games.
Okay. Well, number one, it's just the same as going to a house party, right? You want to just behave yourself, be nice, be courteous, be considerate and thoughtful, and all these other adjectives that you should know. Another thing that you might want to think about is food. So these board games are not cheap. You know, they do cost a pretty penny. So if you're going to a board game night and you want to bring your own snacks, please do not bring Cheetos and have Cheeto fingers touching the board game.
Yeah.
The board game. That's not cool at all. Also, drinks. Usually, a lot of board gaming cafes that I know, or at least the ones here, they had a separate tray to put drinks and food on. So that way, the drinks and food don't go directly onto the table where they could spill onto the game. I know in North America, they don't do that. But I know here in Taipei, that's how they've done it before.
Some board game cafes do it.
And they still
do,
States. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would add also that if you're going to drink alcohol when you're playing, which I actually kind of, for board games, it's not essential, but it's something I want to do when I'm playing board games.
You just
want to
give the other players a handicap. So
exactly.
You can win.
Exactly. I want to drink a beer or two, right? But be considerate. Don't get drunk. Don't come in with a bottle of whiskey and try to drink half of it. I've hosted pen and paper games where, you know, about halfway through the game, you might as well just go, okay, that's it.
No, we all have those stories. I played a big epic game of Dune where one person slowly got drunk throughout the course of the game, and he would sell information, and he would write notes, and then you would pay him currency in the game, and he'd give you the note, and the note would be completely illegible.
Well, see, no, but that could be hilarious, but it's got to be the kind of the point. It either needs to be an aspect of the game or the point of the game. Like, I actually have been really trying to pitch people to play that wine game. What's it called?
That game. I know that game.
And
that game is called?
Viticulture.
Viticulture. Yeah.
With wine. Yeah, sure.
We got a bunch of wine at Hooch. I mean, we don't necessarily got to do it at Hooch, but I wanted to get some players together and get 3 or 4 bottles of wine and turn it into a little drinking game. And see, that would be fun, but that's the whole point of the game.
I have had that experience, and it's fun. It's very relaxing. Because the game isn't that, I guess, consuming of the mind. It's very relaxing.
Yeah.
And kind of transparent. So you can relax with a nice drink with a hand, and it's fine.
As opposed to doing a pen and paper night where the GM's put in a bunch of work. And again, that can be geared towards drinking. But if you're going to do a mystery, right, where they have to find all these clues and discover these things, if you're drunk out of your mind halfway through, there's no point. You're having fun, but you're taking away from other people's fun because you're going to be louder.
Well, I think that if it's your first time going to a board game night, to repeat, number one, just pretend like it's a normal party. You want to be courteous and all of that jazz.
So pre-party.
Sure. And then number two is be mindful of food and drinks like on the table of the games. And then number three, I think, is really important. I would think don't be shy and try to voice your opinion. So if you feel uncomfortable that the group is playing a game that is a little bit too intense for you, let the people know that and see if they can play a game that's more suitable for you. I used to have a bar, and you currently have a restaurant. So if someone's eating food that they don't like, I want them to let me know, because I don't want to force anyone to eat something that they don't like or pay for something that they don't want, because I don't want to do that either. So, but for some reason, when people play board games, that they kind of forget about that social aspect and don't let people know. And then they complain about it, you know, the next
after
day.
After the fact.
Exactly.
So and I think, often not tell you either. They just will ghost, you know, which is the worst thing you could possibly do.
That's also a responsibility of the host as well. As a host, you need to be mindful of other people. And we've mentioned that before in previous podcasts.
Right. But you should always be straightforward if you can as a player. Just say you didn't enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with that. No one's going to blame you for it. Don't internalize it and then hold it against, or worse, play again, because you're going to bring that energy to the game. Just like in relationships, keep in mind the host is not a mind reader. Be very upfront about how you feel about certain things. Don't internalize it. Just don't do it.
I think we're on a whole different level of relationship now. So,
and this is a podcast about board games.
So I think
and relationships. They go hand in hand.
I think it's hard. I mean, I'm still trying to picture myself like never playing board games or not really knowing much about board games. Maybe I played Monopoly in life. And I'm going over to Jay's place, and there's, like, I don't know, you have maybe about 100 games. How do I know what games, like, I would want to play?
Just keep an open mind and try. You just try everything. I think that really the only overarching rule you must follow is don't be a
meanie man.
Don't be a butt. Can we say that? Yeah.
So, and then what games do you normally play for your board game nights? Are there like certain regular games you go to? Jay, you said Gloomhaven.
Well, every other Sunday we play Gloomhaven, and we're slowly working our way through that. But I review games, so usually I'm just playing the games that I have to review. Occasionally, what I like to do is usually everyone will come to the game night with a game in mind, and we'll usually talk about that before the actual game night. And then mine will always be, well, we got to play this game because I'm writing a review about it. And then you can play your game.
And how about you, Spencer? When you had board game nights, was there a regular game that
you'd
go to?
Well, we did actually when Hooch was slow enough to be doing board game nights.
That sounds hot.
We were doing Pandemic Legacy Season 1, and then we moved on to Risk Legacy. Trying to think what we but after that I was just trying out new games like Terraforming Mars and games like that.
So I want to go back to the host, and I think that that's maybe the most important to guests having a good experience for the first time playing a game, because not a lot of guests are hosting board game nights, right? As a guest, you are going to a board game night at someone's place, and as a host, we are ambassadors to the hobby.
Right. As a host, the most important thing is just to be welcoming.
Well, being a host means that you should be responsible and mature enough to be mindful of everyone and make sure everyone's having a good time. And that can mean helping people speak up for themselves. You know, like, hey, Spencer, I see that you're having trouble. Is everything okay? Like, you seem a little bit confused. Are you following the game? You know, things like that.
Yeah, I think it's important to also help the guests understand what kind of game they're getting into. You don't want to throw guests into Gloomhaven when they aren't very familiar with a lot of newer board games.
You like Scrabble? You'll love Gloomhaven. It's just like Scrabble.
So homework, Jay, you got some homework for her.
My homework is that a lot of people have selective memory. They tend to remember all the bad things that happened to them. So what I want to do is your homework will be to remember something good that happened between now and the next podcast. Something good that happened at a board gaming event that you went to. What was something that board gaming event that they did right? What is something that was well done that you appreciated? And then make sure you take the time to tell that to the host and be like, hey, your bathroom's really clean. Thank you. Like, hey, you really, the teach was well done. Thank you.
The teach, hey. What's the teach?
We already had our episode.
I know, but maybe someone didn't listen. Real quick, 30 seconds, 20 seconds.
The teach is how you teach a game, the tutorial.
Perfect.
I really enjoyed my drink. Thank you. Your chairs are very comfortable. Thank you. You made sure I had a great time. Thank you for inviting me.
You'll feel better about it, and you'll make the host feel better about it.
All right, so that wraps it up for our podcast episode for today. But don't go anywhere. You can listen to a top five or what are we playing recently episode on Monday. That's an extra episode, so stick around. But before we go, Spencer and Jay, where can anyone find you guys?
In my hole under Uchacha.
Uchacha. Uchacha is a restaurant in Taipei.
It is a restaurant in Taipei by Technology Building in a place called Hooch. If you search it on Google, you will find me. Unless it's my day off, then don't bother me.
So what if
Uchacha is O-O-H space C-H-A space C-H-A space.
Yes, it's not.
J is great.
It's not O-H. Those people are going to get sued for using our name.
So what if someone is not in Taipei, but they want to reach out to you because of your RPG?
If you find, just go to our website and you can shoot me a message from there or shoot a message over Facebook. If it's in English, I'm the only one who answers it. Believe me.
All right, NJ.
You can reach me at my website, Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook group of Cardboard East.
All right. So thank you guys for coming by again and stick around.
And do your homework, Dustin.
Thank you again for listening this week, and I want to thank Jay and Spencer for another Geek Discussion episode. Be sure to tune in early next week. We are going to have another Geek Discussion extra episode, and we're going to talk about the game Dune, so be sure to tune in for that. Also, if you're interested in the gamification kit, be sure to sign up for our email list at boardgamingwitheducation.com. You can find it right on our homepage. You can check out our Facebook as well. I post some resources on there. That's game-based learning, gamification, and board games in education. As always, thank you for listening, and teach better, learn more, and play more. So you heard me mention Amped Up Learning at the beginning of the episode. They are a teacher-owned company that strives to make learning fun, engaging, and competitive with their unique games and teacher-created lessons. So they have a couple board games, one Freck and one Risk It. They're both history board games, but they also have a lot of other teacher resources from different content areas. So go to their website, check it out, do what you can find for your lessons. That's ampeduplearning.com. If you do purchase any lessons from their website, be sure to use the coupon code BGEGAMES. That's ampeduplearning.com and BGE Games. Check them out on social media too, because they do some giveaways. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, and that's Amped Up Learning. So one more time, that's ampeduplearning.com with the coupon code BGE Games.
Thank you for listening in this week. If you like what you heard, be sure to let us know. You can find us on social media as Board Gaming with Education or BGE Games, or email us at podcast@boardgamingwitheducation.com. If you want to support our podcast, be sure to check out our support page on our website. As always, teach better, learn more, and most importantly, play more. Thank you for listening, and until next time.